Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Access Astrology. My name is Ann Ortley, and I'm an astrologer here in New York at my bright red desk. And right now, I am all alone. Although, I just see Mark calling in, I think. Hi, Mark. Are you there?
Hello.
Hi, you can hear me?
Hello,
great.
Hello.
We did it. We have lift up. Okay. Now there's two of us on Access Astrology. And what we do every week is we talk to you and tell you about the weather in the heavens. So, Mark, tell us about the weather in the heavens. And who are you?
Weather in the heavens. This is Mark Walls talking to you from New York City. And we should all notice that Mercury went direct. It was retrograde for a few weeks. And on, I guess it was Saturday, it went direct again. And
Yeah,
and it's usually noticeable.
We love Mercury direct.
Yeah.
I had a really Mercury direct story today. Rose was off, so she printed my charts yesterday, 2 days ago. So I prepped. I open the door tonight and enter. I say to the woman, hi, Deborah. She goes, hi. She comes in. I sit down. I go, okay, your birthday is this. She goes, no. I said, your birth time is this. She goes, no. I go, your last name is this. She goes, no. So the first Deborah had canceled the appointment, and a second Deborah snuck in with a different birthday and a different time and whatever in the day that Rose, between Rose, when Rose had printed it and I'd prepared it and there'd been a cancellation, and a new Deborah had snuck in. So I was very much like, oh, that little Mercury, he's such a trickster. So I did the reading, you know, anyway. But I was like, look at you. You snuck in another Deborah to trick me. You know, and I always checked that the chart's right, you know, and she was like, no, that's not my birthday. No, that's not my last name either. I'm like, did you just book? She goes, I did. I just booked yesterday. I'm like, okay, got it. So the other Deborah canceled for a new Deborah to come in. So it's quite exciting. That's my Mercury retrograde story. What happened to you?
I don't know. I guess I must have forgot.
We love Mercury retrograde.
Yeah.
He's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful friend of astrologers and people, and he makes us pay attention. I love that story you tell about the woman who wrote the book, the one about her signing the contract on a Mercury retrograde.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, she signed a contract on a Mercury retrograde and ended up spending a year rewriting the book. And it was a lot of work, really hard to do. And she said after that time that it was all worth doing, but if she had known how much work it would be, before she signed the contract, she wouldn't have signed it. But it's exactly what she needed. She needed to do all that. The whole rewriting and all. She just didn't know that that's what she needed to do.
Right. So when you avoid things, and a lot of people do, they get very panicky about avoiding things on a Mercury retrograde. Oh, no, your Mercury's retrograde, I shouldn't. It's like, well, no, you can. But because it's happening during a retrograde, very often it's got a different quality to it where it wants you to kind of go through an unusual experience as part of the journey as opposed to can't do anything, you know? Yeah. But people kind of go, oh, my God, I can't do anything. It's like, no, you can. And Mercury is still retrograde. Maybe he's not retrograde anymore. He's clear of his shadow through August 4th. So we're still going to have Mercury causing, you know, little tricks of the trade, so to speak, and asking us to double-check things and triple-check because very often there's some kind of confusion in the story. What else did you notice about the week's weather, Mark?
Well, let's see. I forgot.
Very Mercury retrograde, right?
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah, well, we have this nice grand trine still going on.
Yes.
It's Neptune, Jupiter, and Saturn in water sign, making a really nice aspect for us all. And that's sitting there, actually, for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, most of the summer.
3 months. 3 months. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he's all about creativity and what we want to create and the kinds of energy that we want to pull into our life going forward, what our vision is for our dream, what our dream is, really, you know. So I know I've been kind of thinking, well, what's my dream for the next chunk of my life, you know? I like my work. I like my house. I like my cats. I like my friends. What do I want to do? What else is left to do in this beautiful world? So I've been coming up with my, I guess, a revised bucket list, because I had one, and I've really done a lot of the things on it. There's some stuff I haven't done, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, okay, you know, there's places I haven't been that I want to go. So it's like, okay, let's get some trips in some plans for trips in place. And then there's other stuff I want to do that I haven't done. So it's like, okay, well, let's figure out when you're going to do that and, you know, kind of move forward in figuring out what the next category of the dreams are. But I think it, you know, it behooves us to remember that the last time we had these aspects were in the 1960s, because Neptune is very slow, and he doesn't do a lot of fast moving up there in the heavens. So he doesn't normally work with the planet of structure and the planet of relationship that often. Last time was 1966, and before that was 1929. So this grand trine is pretty important. And it has a lot of energy around, you know, what we want to create and how we want to create things. So I think it's, you know, a really good time for us to do inventory of what needs to be, what we would like to have shifting and changing in our life and where, because that's the space. And what do you say to people when you're talking to your clients, Mark?
Well, the opportunity really is there to put our ideals into concrete form and, you know, to really, really work. We could say work with the dream, but work with really the highest aspirations that we have and the ones that connect us the most to everything around us. So, it's a time to think of everything, every way that we're connected with the whole universe, the whole spirit world, all of that, and how to make that a part of our life in a very concrete way. And so it has to do with making your sort of your belief system concrete, and we'll find a lot of ways to do that. It's very very specific. It's not so much, you know, a lot of times we have these sort of ideals, but we can't really apply them very well to everyday life or the whole during the week. You know, it only counts on Sunday or something like that. And with this aspect, you can pull, you know, your best intentions on Sunday into the whole rest of the week. So it's something to be aware of, basically, for this, especially this three-month period. And the things that the ways that we find to do that during the week, but all during these 3 months, that gives us something new that'll last going forward. So it's not just the 3 months, but we'll discover things during these 3 months that we can then carry forward. So it's a good time to experiment and say, wow, it's, you know, what's another way that I can sort of connect with my higher self and everybody else's higher self too? And whatever those ways are, then we carry those forward. Does that make sense?
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And I think that's really, you know, I think it's, if we understand that interconnection, which a lot of times we don't always pay attention to, but it's always operating, you know. And if we're kind of tuned into, oh, that's it, you know, because we're so externally driven, or so many people. I mean, I know I certainly get locked in the external world a lot, you know, like the external signals as opposed to those inner ones that say, turn this way. I was reading a blog post that somebody posted, and it was, you know, this person had sold everything they had and packed up everything into a, you know, two suitcases and a dog and their dog, and that was what they were doing. They had this calling that they had to do this. I'm like, really? You sold everything? You packed up everything into the two suitcases? And, okay, you know, that's good. So let's hear what's going to happen, you know, because you're on this journey. And I think if we can listen to what that inner voice is saying to us, I don't think my voice is telling me to pack up everything into two suitcases, but it is saying, you know, there's a change in the air. There's a calling. There's a vision. There's something our soul always wants us to do. And if we're quiet, a lot of times we can hear what that is. And sometimes we can. Sometimes we get it from other people. And sometimes, you know, I have a student who, you know, took off and said, okay, I've got to go follow my dream, and has landed in another country and is kind of going, gee, I don't really know that this is my dream. I'm not really sure this is, you know, what I wanted. This is not what I thought it was going to be. And it's like, okay, so that's good, but at least you tried to follow your dream. You know, it's not to say you have. We don't call it failure. We call it process. And exactly. A lot of times we have this vision that it has to all be right all the time, whereas it's more of an adjusting energy. And I think if we can own that, that also becomes helpful, especially in times like this. Yeah.
That's the nice thing about having Jupiter part of that grand trine, because even though you try something that you think is going to be highly ideal in the way that you were thinking of it at the time, and it turns out not to be that, you know, exactly what you thought, and in fact you might even have to adjust it in a major way, like come back and do something else, there's no harm done. That's
right.
The nice thing about Jupiter being there. Mm-hmm. You always land on your feet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he's got your back. The big guy's got your back. And he's like, okay, I can help. And
Jupiter says,
no matter what,
you're going to benefit.
Right. And the other thing we have this week, we had a nice full moon. We had a prince born. It feels like it was months ago already, but there's a new prince on Earth. And the full moon that we had on Monday is wrapping up the story from, 30 days ago, certainly, or 15 days ago. But there's also a larger story that runs under lunar phases. So we go back to January of 2012, and we go back to October of 2012. And the story from then is part and parcel of what we're finishing up now and changing. So that's helpful. And then this week we have kind of difficult aspects towards the end of the week. And a few people, actually, I was reading a woman today who was talking about having really bad anxiety. And she has a Mars-Pluto aspect in her chart. And, of course, there's a Mars-Pluto aspect forming in the heavens. And Mars-Pluto is a hard aspect. It is a little bit dangerous. It's a little difficult. It's a little argumentative. or a lot argumentative. It's war, you know, on the lower form. Mm-hmm. Mars-Pluto is going to war. But on a higher form, it's, you know, taking action that is authoritative and directed and that you're empowered by, right?
So, yeah, it's very focused. Very, very,
very
like
focused.
A laser beam.
Like a laser beam, right. So we're going to be feeling it, and because Mars right now is out of bounds, which means he's not following the rules, and because he's in Cancer, every time the moon changes, he changes. So right now, today and tomorrow, he's in Pisces, so he's kind of mellow. But on Friday, he goes into Aries. And Mars in Aries is pretty assertive, and it can be moon in Aries is pretty assertive. So it's going to make Mars in Cancer pretty assertive. And then Mars is going to be fighting with Pluto. So the whole heavens will be a little bit on fire, whereas today and tomorrow, they're kind of mellow because it's Pisces moon, right? But it's an interesting time, you know. So I always find with the Mars-Pluto oppositions that tempers can be short. And it actually is forming a T-square because Uranus is there in the Aries position. So it's shooting into the Libra house of your chart. And it's an active energy. It's very active. T-squares are kind of da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da-da-da. They have this quality to them that's pretty pretty assertive and wants to get things accomplished. So how do you tell people to work with T-squares?
Well, you have to work with the energy. It's a challenge, and you're called upon to do it. So, you know, you can't sit it out. You can't sort of wait for it to go away. You really have to respond. So it's a matter of finding within you what action is it that you feel you need to take. And with this one particularly, is there somewhere that you need to assert yourself and express your will? And if so, just do it. And in many ways, the more directly you do it and the quicker you do it, the less aggressive it actually is. It seems aggressive. You know, there's often a feeling of, oh, I'm going to assert myself. That has to be aggressive. And asserting yourself doesn't have to be aggressive at all. And especially if you're not sort of getting wound up about it inside. You know, it's sort of like a wind-up toy. You know, you can really overwind it before you let it go. And then it races around like crazy. Or if you give it a few twists and then just set it out there, it'll act a lot more mellow and get the same thing done.
And it can get a great deal accomplished because it's a lot of energy.
Yeah.
It also can really run into roadblocks because it's a lot of argumentative energy too. So it's kind of like, how do you choose and to use it? And sometimes we need a good dose of, you know, annoyed anger or annoyed rah, 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 to get us to move, because that actually is what does it for us. You know, it kind of inspires us to do something different than what we've been doing up until now. So our job with this energy is to kind of say, okay, clearly I'm having awakening somehow, you know, and notice where it goes off in your chart, what the Aries houses are, what the Capricorn and Cancer houses are, because it's laying across those points, and it's really pushing on them. And people can feel stressed under it, but it the stress is really towards shifting something, I think. You know, when we have those good arguments, for lack of a better word, with people, you know, good house-clearing kind of argument, it helps us, you know, sometimes the anger is how we can actually get something changed. Rather than, you know, because we're annoyed, we're going to actually do something about it, as opposed to there's nothing we can do about it, so we're just sitting with feeling frustrated. So I find it's a helpful, you know, a helpful thing. But I also was raised in a firehouse, so, you know, anger or expressing frustration in a rather loud and vociferous manner was not unheard of. So my sister, when she got married, her husband doesn't fight. And he was like, well, my parents never fought. And my sister was like, what do you mean your parents never fought? And they would go and have a quiet discussion in the bedroom and figure out what the solution was going to be, and then they would come out and present it as this is what their deal was, right? And thus they never fought. So he was like, I don't fight, right? So I mean, he's a Scorpio too, so we aren't 100% sure that that's 100% true, but he doesn't fight in the, you know, the traditional whatever ways. So, and he does do, you know, strategic things, but there's not an overt, you know, argumentative side to him. But it's an interesting. So when you see these energies, they tend to be fairly direct, because these are very bold kind of in-your-face energies too. So that is the other part of it, is if you are with someone who tends to be a little bit more, or if you're in a situation where it feels like it's, you know, a little more volatile, these energies can get out of hand quickly. So it's also being aware of, you know, where you are and you know, where the fight, if there's a fight taking place, you know, who's got the gun kind of thing. So, and usually, unfortunately, these are always tied to those, you know, like shootings in the theater, bombings in the massacre, or whatever. So,
yeah, and we
that's
have
the hard part. Yeah, the lower
we'll form actually,
of it.
We'll actually have the sun moving into a square to Saturn. And
yes.
As that happens, that kind of amps up this sort of these kind of conflicts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. As well. So.
Yeah, and that happens on Saturday too. Yeah.
Yeah. So Saturday's the day to watch out for.
Saturday's the day to watch out
conflicts.
For
conflicts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Conflict.
Just keep a low profile.
People want to hit people.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of like, okay, can I leave the house? And I am. I'm going out twice that I know of on Saturday. And I'm doing it consciously, you know, not going to things that should have fights, but if, you know, barroom brawl breaks out, I'm ready. I know to duck. Yeah, I think it's understanding that we are going to have, you know, it is a very fast-moving energy, too. So, you know, because it's Aries. Aries is speedy. So hit the ground fast if you need to. Or otherwise, you know, just, it might be fun. It's also good for hot sex. I mean, I will say, you know, that this kind of energy does tend to make you go, ooh, you know, it gets all the little pulses running. So that's the other part of Mars. But it is in opposition mm-hmm. to Pluto, right? So it's a little more, you know, it's a little more hair-pulling, I guess, than mm-hmm. than traditional. So any other comments you want to make on the weekly aspects?
I think that's mainly what we've got going on.
Okay, cool. So we want to take a caller?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. And we've got people on hold
Let's
with their hands raised.
There.
See who's there. Hi, 540-519. You're on the air.
Hi, Ann and Mark. It's Danielle.
Hi, Danielle.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing okay. You guys?
Good. No
okay,
complaints.
Good, yeah.
6/13/81. 9:30 a.m. in Alton, Illinois.
Okay.
Okay.
Alton, Illinois?
Yes.
All right. And what's your question, Danielle?
Well, I'm living in Asheville, North Carolina now, and what do I need to know and what's going on with me? What do I need to be doing? What's my story? What you got?
What you got? What's going on? Okay, well, you got a lot going on. You are a water person. You got a lot of water in your chart. June 13th, 81. You got three planets in Cancer that are getting the hit from Jupiter. You got the fourth house, IC, and the moon in Scorpio getting the hit from Saturn. And your seventh house, your partners, your relationships, and your money from other people are getting a visit from Neptune. So there's a grand trine in water in the sky, and your natal trine between your Cancer and your Mercury and your Moon, your Venus planets are all getting set off. So this is a lot for you about Geminis often have trouble making decisions, and with your Cancer, your Mercury and Cancer in a water house, this can be extra for you because, you know, it's finding the words, right? And right now there's no words in the sky. Now you do have a Jupiter-Saturn conjunction in your chart. So if we think back to what you started in 2000 when you were 19, there was a story that began then that's trying to ripen now. And that's what you would want to, I would say, to focus on. What did you start in 2000 when you were 19 that in your house of, you would have started it in your career house. So there's a big opening opportunity going on right now. Do you know what that is?
Well, I'm going back to school for a doctorate in naturopathy, and I might be doing some nutritional consulting work down here, but my health isn't that great, and my back is hurting, and so I'm trying to focus on myself. But
okay, well, the back hurting is the Saturn square and all the Leo planets, your Leo rising and stuff. And you do have Saturn ruling the sixth house of health, so he's... And it's lower back. It's down by the kidneys, right, in the lumbar region?
Yeah, and I'm having problems with my kidneys, too.
You're having problems with your kidneys, okay. Because that's the Saturn, you have Saturn and Venus in Libra, which is kidneys, and it's that lower part of the back, right? And so
yeah.
What the kidneys do is they process a lot of emotions for us, or they process a lot of fluid for us, which are emotions. So what kind of emotions? And you're a Scorpio moon, you know, so we hold on to our emotions. It was going to say, well, what emotions are you holding on to? Where are you hanging in on those things? And specifically the emotional stuff that went on at age 8, because that's the degree of your moon. And that's what Saturn's coming to your moon. So he's really saying to you, I want to clear out some of the old emotions from when you were a little kid, when you were 8, 1989. And interestingly, that's when Saturn and Neptune met in the sky, and they met and the Berlin Wall fell, right? And Russia was freed. You know, the whole collapse of the Berlin Wall and the whole collapse of Eastern Europe into both individual states. So there's something structurally collapsing inside, not in a bad way, but you're breaking free of a really old story that's tied to when you were 8 or 9 years old, right? And that's, I think, the big emotional processing going on underneath. So that's the deeper story, right? And as part of your healing journey. Mark, what do you see?
Yeah, actually a lot of the Saturn stuff right now is really important. And so taking care of that, the deeper emotional structures and any sense this will be further along, but during this year, any sense that you feel inhibited by things, you know, you need to really go ahead and express what it is that you need to do so you can feel sort of closed out from things, and you need to take the actions to just move forward, use what you've learned and use it in the ways that you really only you can put it together. So you've been studying things, learning things, and now it becomes time to bring them out into the world.
Okay.
And also, as you're doing the nutritional work, one of the things that, you know, the kidneys as an eliminative system, or that Scorpio moon, the impact of food on a body and what it does, and kind of higher and lower versions of food, for lack of a better word, you know, what actually supports your kidneys, what, you know, like cranberry sauce and cherry juice for the arthritis-y kind of feelings that are maybe going on in your knees or your bones, and understanding that our body is a healing system, how it really wants to heal. And so that may be part of what this is for you, is to say, okay, you're going into a nutritional program. How do I use nutrition to help my body heal? Because what I fuel myself with is so much about, you know, how I transform who I am. And that may be part of what this is for, too, is that, you know, a lot of times our path, such as doing nutritional training, is designed to help us heal ourselves on a physical level, you know, and helps us get to where we're going. So last year when I stopped eating gluten, made a huge difference. Do I still sneak it every now and then? Yeah. But actually now this summer seems to be the summer of juicing, so I'm getting into green smoothies. And it's making a huge difference. I can feel the difference already in my body just by drinking a quart of green smoothies every day, or trying to drink a quart of green smoothies every day. And as we do the journey, we learn more and more about how we can heal ourselves. So I think for you, this, you know, like it's saying, okay, I'm being guided to take the nutritional course, but I need to apply what I learned to myself. And then
right,
I can say
right.
to people, you know, oh, wow, I drank green smoothies and I was able to heal my kidney problems. I drank, you know, I got off sugar and I was able to help the stress that I had in my system around this. I think you're going to find that the path that you're taking, and then also as a moon in Cancer our moon and Scorpio person ruling all those Cancer planets, the emotional impact of diet and food on the body is enormous. And I think you'll probably integrate those too. So I think that'll work really well. So good luck with that.
And with the emotional stuff, I know with Scorpio moon, my emotion.
Oops. Okay, the British lady's hanging us up. Sorry, Danielle, we lost you, and the show is over. This is Ann Ortley signing off. Hold that emotional thought and write it down and figure out what those emotional, the deep places you're clearing. So Ann Ortley signing off from my Prairie Red Desk on the east side. Scorpio moon places, and Mark?
Mark Wolves on the west side of Manhattan in New York City.
Right. And we'll all be back next week. Heather will be back from her Sundance trip, and we'll hopefully all survive the the Cardinal T-Square this weekend.
Right.
Right.
Good.
All right.
Okay.
So take care, folks. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Bye.